Welcome to the Point of Purity podcast, a weekly study filled to the brim with all the tools from Scripture you will ever need to build a lasting life of biblical purity. Well, I'm your host, Steve Ettner, author, national speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode 156. In this week's episode, we take a final look at the mini-series based on the book entitled, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. This episode is entitled, Radical Transformation. In last week's episode, I asked, have you ever wondered why you do some of the sinful things you do? Have you ever asked yourself, what was I thinking? Hey, we've all been there, my friend. Even the Apostle Paul battled with this issue. Let me take a moment and actually read to you the text that I'm referring to, Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. Listen, Paul says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. That's Romans 7, verses 15 through 25, read from the New Living Translation. I want you to notice in that text that Paul speaks of two different I's. He says the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things that I go ahead and do. Now, on the surface, you might think, well, Paul's dealing with multiple personalities. Maybe he's a schizophrenic, but that's not the case. He's simply describing the same struggle every Christian faces, the battle between the sinful flesh and the new holy nature we talked about in last week's episode. Here's why we still struggle with sin. Galatians 5:17 says the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. They're in conflict with each other. The desires of the spirit are against the flesh or in conflict with the flesh. They are opposed. They're contrary to each other so that it keeps you from doing the things you want to do, Galatians 5:17. Can you relate to the battle that Paul's talking about? It's exactly what he's referring to in Galatians 5:17 when he says the desires of the flesh, the desires of my sinful body, are opposed, they're against, they're in conflict with the Spirit, my new holy nature. The desires of the Spirit are opposed to the desires of the flesh. They keep me from doing the things I want to do. Well, in Romans chapter 7, verses 17 through 19, Paul makes a very interesting declaration. He says, it is no longer I, that I refers to my new holy nature, who does it. It's not my new holy nature that goes against God and sins. It is sin that is dwelling within my flesh, my humanness. For he goes on to say that I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I, my new holy nature, have the desire to do what's right. But the new holy nature does not have the ability to carry it out on its own. It needs my body to do it. It struggles making my body do what God wants me to do. And he goes on, he says, for I, my new nature, do not do my daily behavior, the good that I, my new nature, wants to do. But the evil, the sin that my new nature does not want to do is what my flesh keeps on doing. It's a war, my friend. Plain and simple, it's all out war. Isaiah 26, verse 3 promises that God keeps us in perfect peace when our mind is focused completely, totally, unreservedly on worshiping Him. When your mind is focused on God, when your thoughts are disciplined to think only those things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, Philippians 4:8, God's promise is that He will keep you in a place of safety, a place where you're able to experience an inner peace, a peace that is absolutely indescribable. It's one that will stand guard over your heart at all times, Philippians 4:7. This is why Satan's strategy is to attack your mind. See, the devil knows if he can impress your thinking, he'll impact your living. Proverbs 27:19 says, as water reflects the face, or as a mirror reflects your face, so your life is a reflection of your heart. Now, the word heart there in the Hebrew is the word for mind. In other words, what Solomon is saying in Proverbs 27:19 is your behavior, your actions, your choices, your attitudes, your responses, they are a direct reflection of what's going on in your thinking. When your mind is focused on living for God, your decisions and your actions will be more glorifying to God as well. It follows suit. That's why he knows if he can impress your thinking, he'll impact your living. So to keep the enemy from having that access, to keep us from living in purity and godliness, the enemy's waging a let's call it a guerrilla warfare on your mind. A couple of episodes ago, we saw that the greatest example we have of this guerrilla warfare is found in Genesis 3, the temptation of Eve. Paul speaks of that event with great fear, great trembling. See, he's afraid of what the enemy is capable of doing to you and to me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul says, I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:3. Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23 warns us that the battlefield, the place where this warfare is taking place, is your mind. You must never allow your thoughts free rein. They must always be under control. The result of free rein thinking is disastrous. Why? Because your sinful flesh is always pleading with your mind for satisfaction. I want, I need, I deserve, I desire, I have to have, I can't live without. It's relentless in its pursuit of sinful pleasure. That's why we're commanded in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to destroy the arguments and the lofty opinions, the high thinking, I can handle this type thought process raised against the knowledge of God, and we are to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Well, there's one final text we need to consider before we close out this mini-series on being a superman of God. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will, Romans 12:2. I want us to zero our attention for just a moment on the word transformed. I love this word. It's the Greek word metamorpho. We get our English word metamorphosis. Can you remember science class in grade school? A metamorphosis is a supernatural change that transforms something from one thing into something totally different, completely unlike what it was before. And what makes a metamorphosis so unique? What makes it so special? Is that this transformation takes place, watch this now, from the inside out. Oh, I got to repeat that. A metamorphosis is a supernatural change that happens from the inside out. In other words, when that metamorphosis process is complete, that which was on the inside is now being lived out on the outside. That means that you are a totally different being from what you were before. Think about the metamorphosis as it relates to a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. Now, why does that happen? The reason a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly as opposed to, let's say, an earthworm becoming a butterfly is because the caterpillar already has the nature of the butterfly inside of it. Once the chrysalis has been spun, the caterpillar is in the cocoon, the transition begins, the metamorphosis begins. And that internal nature of the butterfly is working its way out, totally transforming the caterpillar. Now let's plug that concept back into Romans 12:2. We are to be transformed. We're to undergo a spiritual metamorphosis. In other words, that which is on the inside of the born-again believer is to be lived out on the outside. Do you remember what we saw in last week's episode as far as what's on the inside of every Christian? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. God is on the inside. But remember, we saw in last week's episode, in order for God to be on the inside, he has to first get rid of that old sinful nature. It has to be crucified, dead, gone. And he has to put a new nature in its place, created to be like God, Ephesians 4:24, in all righteousness and true holiness. Now, what does that mean exactly? I mean, how does this impact or how does this help us become God's men of steel? Let me share some scripture here with you to help discover the answer. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, God says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy, Leviticus 11:44, make sure we're clear. In Leviticus 19, verse 2, it says, speak to all the congregation of the people and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 19:2. I got to get my scriptures right. Leviticus 19:2. I'm sorry. In Leviticus 20, verse 7, God says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse 7. And then 1 Peter 1:16 refers back to Leviticus chapter passages and says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Here's my point. According to these verses, what is it that God expects you and I to be? Holy. Is that even possible? Can we ever be holy while we're here on this earth? Now, instinctively, you may say, well, no, because I sin. Listen, I want you to never forget that when God commands us to do something, no matter how impossible it may seem, with his power and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. God will never command you to do something that is impossible for you to do. He would set you up to sin. James 1:13-16 tells us God cannot do that. You can actually be holy even as he is holy. Great, but how? How can I possibly be holy when I struggle so much with sinful temptations and sinful habits? Watch this now. It is vitally important that we not lose sight of the fact that God has already placed that holiness, his holiness, inside of you. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, if you did not listen to last week's episode, go back and listen to it. Or if you did listen to it, maybe you need to re-listen to it. We established that principle in that episode. It is possible to be holy because God has placed his holiness inside of you. Your new nature is a holy nature. You, my friend, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are technon theos, Son of God, Superman of God. And according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, all that's needed to be transformed is to let that holiness, which is inside of you already, let it be lived out on a daily basis. To actually be a Superman of God, you have to renew your mind. You have to change the way you think. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's focus our attention for a moment on that verb to renew. It's another word for renovate. I mean, think about it this way. When you're renovating a room or a house or a building or structure, you're always going through two major phases. Every renovation involves two major phases. The first one is demolition. You're gutting out all the old. You're leaving absolutely nothing behind. Once the demolition is done, the second phase is remodeling, rebuilding, replacing. You're putting all brand new into the space that has been vacated by the old. Folks, it's the same thing with renovating your mind. To change the way you think, you have to first gut out the old way of thinking. That old way of thinking is centered around King me. What's going to make me happy, happy, happy? I want, I need, I deserve, I desire, I have to have, I can't live without. It's all about me. What's going to bring me the most satisfaction and pleasure? All hail King me. That thought process needs to be renovated. It needs to be gutted out completely. Why? Remember, what I think strongly influences what I do. When King Me is sitting on the throne of my heart, I'm going to worship King Me. I'm going to expect you and everyone and everything else to worship King Me because I'm the king. And I'm going to expect God to worship me because I'm the king. But to be a superman of God, you must get rid of that way of thinking. It's not about King Me. And then once you've gutted out that old way of thinking, you need to replace it with a new way of thinking, a thinking that is centered not on King Me, but King Jesus. What will make God happy? What will bring him the most honor and glory? All hail King Jesus. All praise King Jesus. Think about God and you will worship God. Worship God and you will think about God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, watch this now, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, here's a question for you. When I change the way I think, when I take my thoughts captive and I make them obedient to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, when the focus of my heart is on glorifying God in everything I say and do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, what's the final result? To answer that, I'm going to do a little twist here. I want to read one more short story that's found in chapter 11 of my book, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel, and that'll help us address this question. Here's the story, and I quote, "Pastor Rogers stood off to the side of the room, arms crossed over his chest, a tear running slowly down his cheek, and a massive smile beaming from ear to ear, as he stood there watching Mitch talk with a small group of men. It wasn't that long ago that Mitch was in his office, groaning over his failures to be a man of God. And now here he was, sharing his testimony with a group of men. Truly, Mitch had become a superman of God. Guys, Mitch was saying, you can do this. You can be God's man of steel. If God can change me, he can definitely change you." Mitch paused for a moment, looking each man squarely in the eye before he continued. "Truth be told, I've learned that on my own, I'm no superman. Shoot, on my own, I keep messing things up. I thought I could be the man that God wanted me to be, but every time I tried, I would blow it big time. In this journey called life, God has taught me four very important truths." Mitch glanced over at Pastor Rogers and smiled. "If it weren't for my accountability partner, investing his time in patiently walking me through the scriptures and praying for me and with me, and if it weren't for the power of God's word at work in my life, I wouldn't be standing here right now telling you these things. So as I close my time with you, I'd like to remind you of those four simple yet life-changing truths that I learned." Mitch continued. "Truth number one, you are an alien. Superman is an alien from another planet. No matter how hard he tries to fit in, he cannot be like the world around him because he is not like the world around him. As a born-again believer, you, guys, you are an alien. This world is not your home. No matter how hard you may try, you can never fit into the world around you because you're not like the world around you." Mitch continued, "So guys, embrace the fact that you are a stranger, a pilgrim, a foreigner in this wicked world, and start living like the citizen of heaven that you are. Be a superman of God." "The second life-changing truth that I learned," Mitch continued, "is this. You are a superman. You are a superman. Superman's supernatural powers comes from his proximity to Earth's yellow sun. See, without the sun, he's weak. He's powerless over his arch enemy who's trying to take him down. As a superman of God, you draw your strength to stand firm in the faith and resist the enemy from your close proximity to God's sun. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Without Christ, you are powerless to stand against the arch enemy of your soul. So guys, draw close to God. Make it your priority to invest time with him daily. Be in the Word. Be on your knees in prayer. Be fully yielded to His Lordship in your life. Be a Superman of God. Again, Mitch paused for a brief moment, glancing over at his pastor and his accountability partner. Pastor Rogers nodded for him to continue. Number three, guys, is this. Watch out for your kryptonite. There's only one thing in the entire galaxy that can weaken Superman. Only one thing can sap him of his strength and make him vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. That one thing is kryptonite. Kryptonite is simply radiated chunks of Superman's past. Anytime he gets near a piece of kryptonite, anytime he hangs around a piece of his past life, it gets between him and Earth's sun, and it instantly drains him of his strength. Guys, as a Superman of God, there's only one thing that can sap you of your ability to stand firm in the faith. Only one thing that can weaken you and make you vulnerable to your archenemy's attack. Your kryptonite is your past. Past habits, past choices, past thought patterns, past sins. When you choose to hang around and play around with your former life, your kryptonite gets between you and God's Son. So guys, stay strong. Stay away from your kryptonite. Be a Superman of God. Mitch paused again, took a deep breath, and continued. Number four, take off your costume. What makes Superman special among the long list of many of our comic book heroes is that he doesn't have to put on a costume to become Superman. He is always the Man of Steel. He never ceases to be Superman. However, in an effort to fit in with the world around him, in an attempt to blend in so as not to be noticed in his struggle to be accepted by his peers, Superman puts on the costume of Clark Kent. But that's not who he really is. Hey guys, as a born-again believer, you are a Superman of God. That's not a costume that you have to put on. It's not a persona you have to try to manufacture. It's who you are. But more than likely, you're wearing a costume, not a superhero costume, but an average Joe costume. Our tendency is to shy away from being that Superman of God just so that we can fit in with the rest of the world. We tend to want to blend in instead of stand out. So guys, I challenge you to remove the costume. Rip open that proverbial shirt and reveal the real you to the world around you. Reveal that big S, saved by the grace of God. Be a Superman of God. So ends the quote of the story found in the book. And this concludes our journey, our mini-series through the book I've written entitled, Are You a Superman? Becoming God's Man of Steel. Next week's episode marks the start of another fantastic study of God's Word. If you'd like to learn more about today's study, or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry and what we do to help men across the globe live in freedom and in victory over sexual temptation, be sure to visit our website. There's a multitude of resources that we've made available to you. You can find our website at The Purity Coach, all one word, thepuritycoach.com. Well, if you're not a subscriber, if you've not yet subscribed to the Point of Purity podcast, well, let me encourage you to do so today. I don't want you to miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach Steve Etner reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.